Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West Stand. We're delighted that you're here, especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending. We'd like to extend a hand of friendship, a word of welcome, and express our hope that you'll become a part of this worshiping congregation. One way to become part of the life of a congregation is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through that congregation. You can find lots of those opportunities listed in the bulletin insert. I am going to mention a few here. Our combined summer Sunday morning class is in McWhirter Hall going on through the summer. It starts around 9:45. If you don't have a class you already attend, please come to McWhirter Hall. Next week I will be teaching and the theme will be abundance. Also, we ask your prayers for annual conference. This week, all of your clergy will be attending annual conference at Brentwood United Methodist Church beginning this afternoon, continuing through Wednesday afternoon. So there will be no Tuesday Bible studies this week because there won't be anybody around to teach those, the clergy Bible studies. But we have a very special occasion at annual conference this year. On Monday, June 13th at 7 p.m., our own Nancy Hawthorne will be commissioned a provisional elder at Brentwood United Methodist Church. So I hope you will plan to be there to celebrate that with Nancy. Or if you can't, when you see her, offer a word of congratulations. An Act of Love, which is an award-winning documentary film about the highly publicized events surrounding the Reverend Frank Schaeffer's life when he risked his own clergy credentials by performing a same-sex wedding for his son, will be screened Wednesday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. in the Fourth Story Theater. So if you would like to see that, Wednesday, June 22nd, 7 p.m., Fourth Story Theater. Also, we have our Bedrock Belief shirts available in Reed Hall. If you ordered one, you can pick those up. If you didn't order one, we've got some extras so that you can purchase one. They say God loves everyone unconditionally, which is the first of our Bedrock Beliefs, and they have the West End logo on them. Now, we do have a Bible study that will take place this week. In fact, beginning this week on Wednesday evening, and that is our study of the Gospel of Luke. You may notice that we are following Luke in our preaching text as well, so I hope you will take part in that. Also, if you want to read about our Children's Mission Week collection for United Methodist Committee on Relief, you can read more about that in the bulletin insert. And this coming week, you will not be able to access the third floor from the elevator. As part of the construction, that area will be blocked off during the week. So if you take the elevator to the third floor, you'll be greeted with a wall of plastic. Okay? You can go to the second floor and walk a flight up, the fourth floor and walk a flight down. Sorry for the inconvenience, but it's just a part of the legacy campaign and the refurbishing of the church. Since I'm apologizing, it might be a good lead into my question. Have you ever done anything that you needed to ask forgiveness for? And when that forgiveness is offered, remember the sense of freedom, the restoration of a relationship, an opening into new life when that forgiveness is extended? Well, we will be talking a little more about that in just a minute.
Thank you. people of summer, gather your hearts for worship. People of sunshine and of rain, gather your minds for worship. People of growing things, gather your spirits for worship in this place. Too often we believe our identity is shaped by our job, our status, our good deeds. God would give us a new identity grounded in Jesus Christ. Let us confess our reluctance to lose who we believe we are so God can shape us into who we can be as we pray together saying, help us, O God, to keep the faith, to be true to you and true to our best selves. Keep us from living as if the only thing that mattered was being among the privileged. On behalf of ourselves and this world, we ask forgiveness for letting differences lead to conflict, for ignoring the needs of our neighbors near and far, for failing to help those who suffer most. Forgive us all. Let your light never cease to shine upon us with its vision of life as it was meant to be lived. God not only listens to the cries on our lips, but also pays attention to the groaning of our hearts. God restores us to wholeness and invites us to a new way of living. We are welcomed. We are loved. We are given new life. We are filled with peace. Thanks be to God. We are forgiven. Amen. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Matt and Lauren Wessling bring their son, Thomas Anders Wessling, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Now, Matt and Lauren, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Good. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with the community of others, that he may grow up in service to others.
He will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on an ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child that receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that in dying and being raised with Christ he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. With you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child? Thomas Anders. Thomas Anders, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'll put your hands on baby brother, we're going to pray for him. Thomas Anders, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus all your days. Amen. All right. Back to Mom. Let's walk to the center.
Will the congregation please stand and face Thomas Anders? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Thomas Anders to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
Thank you.
Please join me as we pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. And then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. "Now which of them will love him more?" And Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." And then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." And then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this one who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The word of God for the people of God.
listening. Please be seated, and if there are others who would care to join us, come on down. If you want to bring a parent or a grandparent or a friend, that's perfectly all right. I don't have any brothers or sisters, which means when I was growing up, I didn't have anybody to fight with. I had to wait for my cousins to come visit to fight. And sometimes when we did, we would say really mean things to each other, and sometimes we would even hit each other. I probably shouldn't be telling you this, should I? No, but my parents would take us aside, and their parents would take us aside, and they would say, "Now you say you're sorry." And we'd say, "I'm sorry." Which meant we really weren't sorry, right?
Yeah.
And then they would say to the cousin, "Now you forgive your cousin." "Oh, it's all right." Which meant they really weren't forgiving us, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes when we hurt each other, we really were sorry. We said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I am so sorry that I hurt you. I didn't mean to say that, or I didn't mean to do that." And when they said, "That's okay, I understand," it was really expressing sorrow that we had hurt someone, and it was really receiving forgiveness for that. In a few minutes, I'm going to be talking about a story where Jesus offers forgiveness to someone, really even before they ask. But we all have to ask forgiveness for stuff all the time because we're always doing things, even when we don't intend to, that mess up other people's lives. For example, if you look over there, there's a big green machine, right? That big green machine is called a lift, and we're using it to replace the wiring in these big lights hanging above everybody's head because you know what? That wiring had not been changed since this building was built. And it's even older than I am, which is really old. So we're getting new, fresh wiring in there, and the lights will be nice and bright. The only problem is the people who usually sit over there can't sit over there. And you have to sit here and look at that. I guess you don't have to look at that. You could look at us up here in the front, right? But it's sitting over there, this big green machine, and I'm sorry the people can't sit over there for a few weeks, but it'll be much more fun to sit over there when they do get back. And I bet they will forgive me. So, as I talk about the story of Jesus forgiving someone who came to him, I want you to think about those times when you've had to say you're sorry, or someone else has had to say they were sorry to you, and they offered you forgiveness, or you offered them forgiveness. Harlan, what? Okay. Well, on that, why don't we pray? Okay? Thank you, God, for allowing us to say we're sorry when we need to. Thank you for allowing us to offer forgiveness to others when we need to. Thank you for showing us the way to do that because you love and forgive us. And you give us the example of Jesus to show us that way. We just hope to follow his example. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Well, for the past few weeks, we've been following Jesus around in different settings. And this week, he's been invited to dinner in the house of a really religious person. And I'm going to have to change the way you're thinking, probably, about the picture in your mind of this dinner. Take Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper and put it away, okay? That is not at all what the table looked like. In fact, there wasn't even a table. There would have been mats laid out in a U shape. The Romans called that a triclinium. It was a three-sided eating arrangement where the servers could come into the middle and serve everyone who would be sitting at table. But when you sat at table, you really didn't sit at table. You reclined at table so that you would sit leaning on your left arm. You would use your right hand and bread to dip into the various bowls of food, the bread as a spoon. You would be stretched out with your feet pointing away from the table, which is why this story makes no sense unless you have that picture in your head. Because the woman who came in to this probably semi-public gathering went to the place at the table where Jesus reclined and was able to hold his feet and weep on his feet and wash them with her tears. So you got that picture now? So, in the middle of this quite nice dinner by a very important religious figure, this strange woman, who we are told is a sinner, we are not told what kind of sinner, we're not told what she did to get that reputation, but she is a sinner, breaks in and disrupts the whole meal. She begins to weep and wail, and her tears fall on Jesus' feet. She's kneeling at his feet as he stretches out away from the table. And she cries so much, she literally washes his feet with her tears. And then she does something even more disruptive and scandalous. She lets down her hair. At this time, that was a highly sexually charged act. Okay? It would be very close to opening your blouse. That offensive. So she lets her hair down, and she begins to dry his feet from the tears that she shed on them with her hair. She's shameless, obviously, but we were told from the start she was a sinner, right? What do you expect? And then she takes an alabaster jar, and she begins to pour oil on Jesus' feet, and she kisses his feet, and she anoints his feet. Now, can you imagine being at what we would consider at least a semi-formal dinner and have someone break in and do this? The good religious fellow who had invited Jesus and all the other guests and who had not invited the woman, interestingly enough, says to himself, if this man were a prophet, you see, we're still dealing with that. We've been dealing with that for several weeks now. Who is this Jesus? Is he a prophet? Is he more than a prophet? Is he less than a prophet? Well, it's pretty clear the opinion of the good religious fellow who invited him, because he thinks to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. The implication being, he would have put a stop to this. If he had known what kind of woman this was, he would have made her stop and he would have told her to leave. What we know about Jesus, however, is that he is more than a prophet, according to the Gospel of Luke, and that he welcomes her for the very reason that the good religious guy thinks he ought to push her away. An indicator that Jesus is more than a prophet is he seems to know what his host is thinking. Now, quite frankly, if your dinner had been disrupted in this way by someone who had a terrible reputation, who you specifically did not invite to come, it wouldn't be hard to guess what you were thinking, would it? It really wasn't that hard for Jesus to guess what his host was thinking. So Jesus says, Simon, I need to tell you a story. Said there was a man who loaned money, and two people borrowed money from him. One person borrowed about a year and a half's wages. Think what that would be for you. Wages for about a year and a half of work. The other borrowed about a month and a half's wages. One day, when the lender was feeling generous, he said, just forget it. Neither of you have to pay the money back. We'll just mark it off the books. No repayment. Paid in full. And then Jesus asked his host, who do you think will love the lender more? And of course, he got the right answer. We good religious folk always get the right answer, don't we? The one who forgave the larger debt. Just makes sense, right? The only problem is we good religious folk are always getting the right answer. We're just not doing the right stuff. Because almost immediately Jesus says, looking at the woman but addressing his host. Is that interesting the way Luke frames that? Jesus is looking at the woman but addressing Simon. He says, when I came here, you didn't welcome me appropriately. You offered me no kiss, and yet she's been kissing my feet since she came in. You did not offer to wash my feet, yet she has washed my feet with her tears, dried them with her hair. You offered me no honorable welcome, and she has been welcoming me ever since she entered the room. Because of this, her sins are forgiven. Remember that story? Those who are forgiven a lot learn to love a lot. Those of us who don't think we need to be forgiven in the first place never learn to love. This is what Luke is getting at, I think, in this whole scene. Because it doesn't really make any sense what Jesus is saying. You mean the worst among us, when they are forgiven, learn to love more than those of us who have followed all the rules all of our life, who've gotten all the right answers all of our lives? And Jesus is saying, yeah. It's kind of troublesome for us good religious folk, isn't it? Because I think that's who Luke wants us to identify with, the host. We are the ones sitting there thinking, what in the world is she doing here? Who invited her? Why is she making such a fuss? And in all of that, Jesus welcomes her. We may get all the right answers. You know, we may know the creeds. We may know how to answer the right questions for confirmation. We may have all that knowledge, and yet because so often we don't feel like we've done anything particularly bad, and so we don't need to be forgiven, we never learn the depth of love that comes from facing our brokenness. It's a variation of what Jesus says elsewhere. Take the log out of your own eye first, then you can take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. One of the problems we face growing up in the church, especially if we've participated all of our lives and we've been good folk all of our lives, is that we have never really faced the need to ask for forgiveness with the same depth, the same need, the same emptiness and hurt that folks who have lived really, really hard lives have learned to do. For them, forgiveness opens a whole new life. It frees them from the prison that they were in previously. And it opens the door to a new way of living. Jesus says to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And the people around him all say, who is this that forgives sins? Now, we don't know the inflection they used when they said that. Did they say, who is this that he can even forgive sins? Or more likely it would be, who is this guy who thinks he can forgive sins? Because they knew only God could forgive sins. But he says again, your faith has made you whole. Now, she hasn't said a word, right? Her faith has not been expressed in a single solitary word. It has all been expressed in action. Her coming in, her making a scene, her not caring what other people thought about her, weeping, washing Jesus' feet, drying them with her hair, anointing them and kissing them, all of that was the expression of her faith. She didn't have to say a word. It was in what she did. He said, go in peace. I don't know how much peace she had known prior to this. People who live on the street, people who have incredibly hard lives, people we define as sinner or outcast, don't often have a whole lot of peace. But that's what Jesus offers her. Go forth into a new world, into a new way of living, into a new life. As I said earlier, we're going to be at annual conference for the next few days. Your clergy and your lay delegates will be. And it'll start this afternoon. It'll end on Wednesday. And every year we have someone to come in and speak as a Bible study leader or a teacher of some sort. This year, that person is Dr. L. Gregory Jones. And Greg has written several books. His most recent is Christian Social Innovation. Sounds like a real page-turner, doesn't it? Actually, it's a really good book. It is a really good book, and it's not that long. But he describes what he called tradition innovation, and we do that really well here, I think. We hold on to those traditions that form who we are and ground us, and yet we aren't willing to let go of those things that imprison us and hold us back. That open into a new life, that provide us with a new way of seeing others and a new way of seeing the world. And what Greg Jones says is that the thing that makes that happen is forgiveness. It is forgiveness that frees us from the prison of the past and that opens an avenue into new life. He tells a story about a woman from Burundi named Maggie. Back in the 90s, I know you all were aware of the terrible tribal conflict in Rwanda. Well, it was also taking place in Burundi as well. Tutsis and Hutus killing each other. And in Maggie's village, her neighbors slaughtered those of the other tribe. They beat her up because she was of their tribe, but she was considered a traitor, the only thing that saved her life. They killed her best friend, and she took in her best friend's children. Now, she could have escaped. She could have simply tried to leave the country and probably could have made her way to at least a refugee camp, but she did not. She stayed where she was. Not only did she take in her friend's children, she took in 25 orphans to raise because their parents had been killed in that slaughter. Now, one of the issues in that situation was that the people who had done the slaughtering were still living in the community with those who had survived it. Now, a number left, a number escaped, but there were still those two communities living together. And what Maggie decided to do was to create what she called the House of Peace, a place where people from both tribes could come together, a place where these children would find a safe haven. And in the very spot where the worst of the massacre took place, she decided to build a swimming pool. Some people called her mad. They said she's a mad woman. Others called her an angel. But in that swimming pool, children from both tribes were invited to come and get to know each other in a different way. On a different level. She began to reach out to the community to help rebuild houses for those children who had been orphaned. And for one particular child, the man who had killed her parents lived in that same village. And when Maggie asked him to come and help with the rebuilding of the houses, he resisted. It took a while. But after a while, he showed up one morning and began to help rebuild the house for the children of the people he had killed. And though it took 7 years, he finally came to those children and told them how sorry he was that he had left them orphaned, that he had gotten caught up in something that he didn't feel like he could control, and he was genuinely sorry for what he had done. His actions had said that earlier, just like the actions of the woman. Whatever her sins were, who knows? Her actions spoke even louder than her words, so that when he finally came and spoke the words, it just confirmed what he had already done. Now, we in our families don't wind up killing each other for the most part, although there are families that do experience that. Oh, but we can certainly give murderous looks, can't we? We stab each other with our words. and we cut each other down to size sometimes. And we still need that operative forgiveness that opens us into love. We don't get through this life without hurting someone. Sometimes inadvertently, sometimes on purpose. And we are locked in either the effects of having been hurt or the memory of having hurt someone else. We are imprisoned there until a word of forgiveness can be spoken. And once that word of forgiveness is spoken, it opens up a whole new way of life that Jesus calls love. We who are forgiven much learn to love much. We who persist in the delusion that we're good people and don't need forgiveness never have that opportunity to learn with the same measure of depth. And so my hope for all of us is that we can face those things we have done and those things that have been done to us. That we can offer a word of apology if we have been the actor and have hurt someone, and we can receive words of forgiveness. Or if others bring us an apology, we can offer words of forgiveness. Or perhaps, like Jesus, offer them even before they are asked for. In this community, in our larger lives, and who knows, maybe even at annual conference. Thanks be to God. Creeds and affirmations are helpful ways of telling our story, though they don't take the place of acting our faith. But I would invite you to stand with me now. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal and join with me as we affirm our faith. We are not alone.
We welcome this morning all who gather to worship with us. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We're glad that you are here, and we hope that you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you may have. They'll be stationed in both Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you can record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please let us know if the prayer requests are to be shared or confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you will find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping around with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of the service. This morning, we want to lift up the community in Orlando, who's been affected by the shootings there this weekend. I also would like to invite each of you to think through your own lives. Many of us have friends and family or have something in our own life that we want to celebrate or also want to lift up. So let's take a moment of silence and lift up our own needs. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, make our lives through Jesus, our true vine, living branches of faith, hope, and love. We desire for maturity by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Help us to enrich the lives of others by bringing your Spirit everywhere we go. God of mercy, help us to love unconditionally as you love. Help us to rest in your love so that we do not need to place demands or conditions on others. Let the example of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection guide our expectations and actions in our relationships with others. And caring God, we pray for our brothers and sisters in all of their diverse needs. You know the prayers on our hearts and the prayers we do not know to name. We are so grateful for the prayers you have already answered and have hearts of hope this morning for the things yet to be. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Like the woman with the alabaster jar, let us bring all that we are and all that we have to support God's work in this church, this community, and this world.
Now go forth as a forgiven people to show God's love back to God and to others in all that you do, knowing that God, the source of all forgiveness and love, Jesus Christ, God's forgiveness and love among us and with us always, the Holy Spirit, allowing us to offer God's forgiveness and love to each other, will be with you now and forever. Go in peace.